Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can learn more about our family of design enthusiasts, add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to our guest today. She is a gracious living and stylish entertaining expert and a multimedia personality who's turned her talent for beautiful living into a full-service interior design firm specializing in residential and commercial design, gardens, as well as lifestyle. She's undertaken furniture and lighting design, brand consulting, creative director opportunities, as well as visual and merchandising styling for retail and hospitality firms wishing to capture that youthful, spirited, traditional look she is so well known for. Her ability to effortlessly combine pattern on pattern, bold color choices, cozy, comfortable, but always traditional, often English-inspired collections from revered fabric houses, her choices always have an irreverent bohemian flair, which makes her interior stand out. She's a very busy lady making the world more beautiful. Danielle Rollins, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating.
Thank you. I am very happy to be here with you.
We're thrilled to have you with us too. So take us back, Danielle. Tell us what it was like for you when you first fell in love with design.
I don't think I even remember falling in love with design. I think it's something that I've always loved. I have joked over and over now that I think it was a reaction of going to Catholic schools and everybody else was learning math, and I was wondering what the curtains would look like if they were changed to match the school plaid uniform, or what would the room look like if it were painted a bright, beautiful color. And I went to a school taught by Irish Catholic nuns that didn't quite share my enthusiasm for some of that type of daydreaming, and I thought it was something everybody could do. They just decided to maybe doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs. And so it was a natural thing for me. And I had parents that let me do pretty much what I wanted. I would rearrange the whole rooms. I would paint them. I would change everything. And they would usually get so used to it, they'd say, oh, this is nice, you know, version for the week. So I think it's always been in my blood. I just think sometimes it's a natural for people. And I think I may be one of those people that I really couldn't survive without being able to do something that changed an environment or tweaked it in a certain way.
So with that as the foundation, I'm then curious when in your life experience you realized that you could make a career out of this.
Well, it's not been all that long. I had the luxury of hiring a lot of young, upcoming, very talented designers for several years. And then I got a divorce and decided that I wanted to do something to put my own mark on the world and open my own small boutique design firm after I published my book, Soiree Entertaining with Style. It was a natural extension of doing the book, and I wanted to do more than tabletop, and I wanted to create everything around. And I really love what I do. It's not work for me, not one minute of the day. And I love whenever I can take a project from the inside and carry it to the outside. And gardening is the only way I really relax. And so that became a natural extension working with various projects that the outside didn't quite fit when you drove up to see the place. So I started moving in towards the garden design as well. So now my children joke that I'm sort of like a decorator, but one with very good taste.
Well, very good taste, I would say, and points for them for being so observant. You've trained them well.
I have.
Do you have any young decorators in the lot?
My youngest, who is 14, seems to be the one that cares the most. All of the kids kind of notice it, but my youngest, who I guess has probably been around me the most through the process of working in this capacity, has incredible taste, and he notices things, particularly when they're off. And he's very vocal critic of design flaws.
Well, nurture that. It'll be interesting to see where it goes for you.
Absolutely. And I love that I have kids that care. I have always given my kids a piece of art or some type of antique or something for their birthdays and Christmas rather than some of the traditional things, because I've always hoped that when they got older, they would have enough of a collection to start building upon that was personalized just for them.
It's a wonderful, wonderful way to sow the seeds of beauty in your children's lives.
Or for a way for them to start divvying up the things while I'm still alive and like putting like Post-its on them.
I get that one. No, I get that one.
Exactly. I've had that happen a few times.
Oh my gosh, that's too funny. Well, so tell us what it is that you're filling your days with right now. I mean, you've written, you're designing, you've done product. You have so many abilities. What is it that you're working on right now that has you really excited?
I'm working on a few projects right now that I really love. I think whenever I start working with someone, I really get attached to the person and being able to help them fulfill their desire to have a better and different environment. But I think through that process, they really start finding their own voice and finding their own taste. And I love watching that open up. And I love being able to educate a consumer and have them become the expert and put me in the role of just the facilitator at that point. And I'm also working on my next book, which is going to have a starring role of my recently renovated house and a lot of the things that I've designed for this house, which is moving me towards the next round of starting to license a lot of my designs. And I'm really excited that I've had the opportunity to kind of do all three of those things interwoven at the same time.
Wow, that's quite an opportunity and quite a responsibility. I mean, you've got a lot of people that follow you and look up to you for inspiration. How does that feel?
Sometimes it feels a little bit more like you said, the responsibility. But I think I've always just held true to who I am. And I think I'm a very authentic person. I really genuinely love what I do and I love what I'm doing. And I feel just elated that I can have this platform now to be able to work directly with consumers and share some of the tips and techniques and little tweaks that I've learned over a lifetime, really, of living a beautiful life.
Wow. That's exceptional. So when you think about the career that you've created and all the work that you're doing right now, what would you isolate as the thing that you love the most, Danielle?
I think I love the most watching someone walk into a space that they've inhabited, but see it in a different light and then live in it in a different way. I have one client that I simply adore, and her husband had a very bad accident about a year and a half ago. His appendix ruptured and he ended up going septic, and he was in the hospital in ICU for many months and almost died. And when he came home, there's that natural, I guess, sense of guilt for the person that's been through the something that life-changing, where they have a sort of a depression. And I think for her, it was she couldn't quit taking care of him and he didn't want to be taken care of anymore. So they brought me in to redo their house as empty nesters. And it has been one of the most rewarding things I've ever done to watch people use their house in a new way, live in it a new way, and to entertain and to have that sense of pride when they have others over, but that beautiful, quiet, inner love of just living again.
My, that's remarkable, the power that design can deliver in the way that people interact with their lives. So rather than selling the house and moving somewhere else, they chose to repurpose what they had.
And I think I really love that. I love doing new projects, and I love doing stuff ground up from, you know, all the way through. But I do love a good renovation. I think that when you can take anything that doesn't have that sense of love or that sense of appreciation, and you can put some love and back into it, it really just transforms everything.
That it does. And that seems to be so much of what your brand is about, right?
I think it is. I think I like for people to experience everyday living, but to live well every day. And it's not something that has to take a whole lot of money or a whole lot of effort, but I think it's sometimes that mindset of us starting to use what we have and have what we use, and to take things out of the cabinets or from behind the closed doors and pull them out into the open for everyday living and everyday enjoyment, not just waiting for those special occasions.
That's a departure for some people, though, isn't it? Because I think many of us were raised with the idea that, well, the special china is just for special occasions, and you don't go in the living room unless there are guests in the house. And there were all of these restrictions that seem to have been put on us.
Well, clearly, I don't do restrictions very well.
Which is why
we would be indicative of my personality in all ways.
I knew there was something about you I liked.
Well, I've never had a rule that I don't like to break.
Spoken like a good Catholic schoolgirl, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, we'll probably get letters over that one, but
yeah,
oh well.
I was fun, we'll put it that way.
Oh yeah, never dull, I'm sure.
I think it's the Texan in me too. I think there's that sense of irreverence that, you know, rules are great and they're good. I consider them guidelines and suggestions, but I think that sometimes not having the rules or not having the sense of how you have to do something really opens up the way that anything can be done. I approach decorating in a very irreverent way. I like to look at the room and the person and see what they have and then figure out a way to make all of it sort of work together to make sense.
Mm. It seems like a very intuitive way to do the work, and yet nothing could be more personal.
I think it's very intuitive the way I approach any project, whether it's a tabletop or an entire house. It's not so much about the decorating of a house as it is the living in it. And I know this is going to sound shocking, but I'm a very practical person. I really am. I think about how you use things, not just about how they're going to look. One of the things I'm passionate about whenever I start working on a project is, where is the trash going to go? How are these things going to be stored? You know, if you have a wood-burning fireplace, where's your firewood going to be kept? Because I think until you look at how the house functions and how it's going to flow, decorating it is secondary in that purpose. You have to live in the house and you have to find a way to make the rooms function and have a flow and a sense of purpose.
I mean, there is that dictum that I believe came from the modernist school, that form follows function. But what you've just described seems to be very applicable even in your more traditionally grounded work.
Yes, and I love all styles of decorating. And I think even if you look at more contemporary or modern, it's really a departure from what was done in the past. It's always sort of a broken down into layers to make something more simplified, but it all goes back to something that's much more traditional in design. And that's what makes design so great. And that's why when it's done well, you can mix so many different periods and styles.
And it's endlessly interesting in that way, right?
Isn't it? I think it's so much fun. And as soon as I finish one project, I'm always ready to start another one. It's a little bit dangerous when it's your, you know, your own personal life you sometimes do that with. But I don't like anything to be stagnant. And I think one of the things I love decorating is doing it well enough that everything can be taken out of certain rooms and moved into other rooms so that it's really a way to kind of always rearrange and re-inhabit your own space. So I think that's what having a good color flow allows a house to do.
Sure. Yeah, you can. It's just inner parts that are just moved from point A to point B, right?
Absolutely. And sometimes you use things in different ways. I think that's one of the things I love about entertaining. And I really love to get people to entertain in their homes. And if you decorate that part really well, everything focuses and functions the same way room to room. I personally am not always the one that likes to entertain in my breakfast room or my dining room. I like to entertain all over the house, and I like to take things from room to room and use them in different ways. And I think it really makes you use your house in different ways and use it a lot more and a lot more often.
Which is all very good things, right?
Absolutely. I love having people over.
Well, so again, when you think about your work, you've spoken so passionately about the things that you love about your work. From time to time, I have heard there are challenges in this industry. What are the challenges like, Danielle, and how do you navigate through them?
I think there's a lot of challenges, and I think my biggest challenge has been a lot of the management sides of working on any project. I think at heart, we're all in a service industry, and I think we go into this because we love design, but really it's about giving your heart to someone else and fulfilling their dreams, not so much your own. And so, you know, I'm not the person who makes a sofa. I hire somebody else to make a sofa, and occasionally it's not done right. So those management quirks are sometimes more challenging. And I think for me, I've just tried to work with companies that have the same sense of service, commitment to clients that I have to them. And then the understanding that it's not always going to go right, but when it doesn't go right, an ability to work with people that are going to help me fix that problem. And then there's also just the challenges of working with people sometimes. And it's a learning curve daily. I'm really lucky that I have such a great relationship with so many other designers, and I find this industry to be extremely supportive. And I can't tell you how many times I've had to pick up the phone to ask for advice or to ask for help or to ask for a reference or a referral. And I find that that's one of the things I love about this industry is it's very open and it's very into supporting each other as well as to supporting artisan and craftsmen and people that make what we do possible.
It is a remarkably generous industry in that regard.
It is.
Yeah, we've commented on that many times, and I think it's unique in that way. Unlike any other industry that I've come across, I mean, while we, of course, love and cherish our clients, there is a generosity about sharing resources, sharing inspiration, help, tips, all of those things.
I think so, too.
It's a good thing. Yes, it is a good thing. Question for you.
I think we're all better when we're all good. I think that if you hang around other people that are as talented as you are, you learn from that, and it only makes everybody else better. And I feel like it always makes me a better designer, and it makes me give better delivery to my clients. And I learn so much from other designers and from a lot of the artisans and craftsmen and the people that make the fabrics and people that make the wallpapers. And the more you're educated and understand all of those areas, the better it makes you at delivering that product, no matter what it is, to someone that's put their trust in you.
Yeah, very much so. So our listeners at home tune in. They love to hear the stories. They love to hear the tips and ideas. If you could speak directly to a homeowner today, Danielle, someone who's at home trying to make their home as beautiful as possible, what would your message be to them?
I think there's nothing more powerful than a can of paint or a bar of soap. I do. I think that paint is so transformative, and people are so scared of it, and it's just a can of paint. And if you don't like it, you can change it. But painting with things can really open up rooms, and it doesn't have to be just the walls. I love painting floors. I like painting the ceilings. I like painting designs on doors. And I think having that sense of boldness, but also having that sense of it's just a can of paint, can really change things. And I don't think things that you put in your house have to necessarily be expensive or the best of the best. I think there's too much emphasis right now, and it has to all be done at once, and you can get it all right this minute. But life isn't that way. It should unfold slowly, and you should add to it and have a collection. And I think that when you have a good plan for having the background colors right, all of a sudden everything else starts making sense and has a sense of purpose and a sense of flow. And you can start adding to those things in your house over the course of your lifetime. And I'm a maximalist at heart. I don't like less, but I think it's because I love being surrounded by things that I love, and I love walking into a room and having that visual sense of comfort that these are things that I've collected and things that I've built and grown with and added to over the years. It becomes the layers of your life, and you live with it every day, and there's a sense of comfort with that.
A rich sense of comfort, I would say. A real
absolutely
rich.
Absolutely. Well, I think too, you know, I went through not such a great divorce, and I lost just about everything. And I think that process made me so much of a better designer, because I'm not afraid to start all over again. I'm not afraid to not have things. And I think it made me realize that no matter what, there is always more stuff, and that I could make purchases a little more freely. They didn't have to be the perfect thing. They just had to make me feel happy. And putting them all together and the layers of that and the comfort of going ahead and buying a table that may not be the greatest looking table, but painting it or putting pennies on the floor instead of tile because it was a less expensive way of covering up a cement floor, or painting stripes on a door. I started doing things much more boldly because I was starting with nothing.
Wow. Great story. Great inspiration also. So you've been doing those things in your home. I sense it's a bit of an incubator where you get to test things out. What ends up being your favorite room in your home, Danielle?
I think I would have to say it's either my living room or my bedroom, and for very different reasons. The living room, I love it because it has got multiple ways in and out of the room, and it's been done so that you have to walk through it to get to almost every other room in the house. And that was a little non-traditional when I was ripping out walls and tearing out a four-story chimney, but in doing that, it made it something that was not precious. It made it something that was purposeful. And so we all use it. And it becomes the family gathering place. And it's as comfortable for one person as it is for 40. My bedroom is exactly what I wanted it to be. I'm single. It has a coral ceiling and mint trellis wallpaper and silk satin curtains with a rich leopard carpet. It's filled with antiques. I have an old patterned Lee Jofa glazed chintz and ikats and layers and layers and layers. And every time I walk in here, I think this just makes me so happy. I want to lay on the floor and just stare at everything. And that's how any room should be. But to have it be all by myself and all for myself, I love it.
How fabulous. So tell us what our listeners would be most surprised to find in your home, Danielle.
You know, they would probably be as surprised to find some of the things I'm surprised in my home on a daily basis, having teenagers. I love the unexpected of anything, but I think my biggest sense of passion is bringing outside inside, and there is something growing or something that's cut or something from fresh floral in every single room, every single day. I really need that sense of indoor, outdoor, and bringing something living into a home. And I don't feel like a room is complete unless there's something breathing in it. And it can't always be a person. So I like having fresh floral, fresh plants living in rooms.
Wow. Sounds lovely.
And it gives me a chance to hit the garden with my clippers on most days.
Well, and you're in a climate that's pretty much year round, right?
Well, even if it's not, I, you know, still do it. It's amazing.
Good for you. Good for you. Now, if you had a chance, if you had an opportunity to spend an hour or so with a designer style hero, Danielle, who would you pick and why?
I think it would have to be Nancy Lancaster, or possibly Sister Parrish. And if I were really lucky, maybe both. But I loved Nancy Lancaster's approach to design and decorating, and that it was very intuitive, like you mentioned before. And it was really not about decorating per se. It was about creating living environments and environments for living in. And I think she did it so effortlessly and so beautifully that I would probably talk her ear off and would just, you know, tag along behind her to the point that she would be pushing me off. But I think when I look back at a lot of photos, I tend to always go back to those rooms, and it's not so much because of how they were decorated, but it's because of the functionality of the room and the way that the arrangements were composed to create beautiful environments for living in those spaces.
Good pick. Good pick, either of them. We're fond of both of those ladies' work. So Danielle, tell me, what is the very best decorating advice you've ever heard?
Buy the best and you'll only cry once. And I think it's very true that if you buy the best thing that you can afford of whatever it is, it will last you for a long time and work in a variety of settings. And to that same end, I also think if you buy what you love, it's always going to find a home.
Isn't that the truth? When you really are passionate about something, there's always a perfect place for it.
And I think it's one of those things that when you walk in the room, it will instantly give you that sense of happiness and joy and a thrill every time you see it. And there is nothing better than that.
That's a good thing, that's for sure. Well, let's go to the other end of the spectrum and talk for a minute about design trends, and more specifically, a trend that you're going to be very happy to see go by the wayside.
I think I am not a fan of the Belgian beige and blah. not the color thing's not for everyone, but sure. I tend to like things that have more personality. And I think that we've seen just about enough of that. When it first came out, it seemed so fresh and so new and so exciting. And now it just feels ho-hum and blah and commonplace. And design should never feel like that.
Definitely should not. Time for some lively colors, right?
Yes. Well, you know, I always think that.
And you always do it, don't you?
Not always. I'm starting to like things in a more monochromatic palette, but it just depends on the project. I like to do what's right for the space.
There you go. And for the client, right?
Yes, yes.
Perfect. Now let's do a hypothetical. We pray that this never actually happens, but if there were to be a fire at the house tonight, family, loved ones, animals, all safe, but what's the one object in your home, Danielle, that you would risk the flames to save?
I went through a tumultuous and very traumatic divorce, and I lost just about everything. And it was overwhelming at the time, and it was devastating for quite a while, but I slowly started rebuilding. And I think that taught me that there are always more things, and sometimes starting with a fresh palette helps you kind of put a priority on what you really love and what you like. But at this point, having had that happen, I'm not really afraid of losing anything again. And I think I don't have that sense of I have to own things. So I really can't think of anything other than a few treasured pieces of artwork that I would really get that upset about.
There's a certain power in being able to let it all go, isn't there?
Well, it was a forced power, but at least I learned the lesson from it. Let's put it that way.
Well, you learned the lesson, and there you go. Points for you for that. I know you're a book lover, Danielle, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. Give us one book that you think should be on the bookshelf of every design lover who's listening.
Oh, I don't know if I could ever do one book, but I think the book that I always go back to, or the series of books about or by, are David Hicks' books. I think that they are timeless and classic, and I think the furniture arrangements are always fresh, and the rooms could be right this minute with very few tweaks. And I also like anything on the subject of Billy Baldwin's work. To me, legendary and, again, timeless.
Two timeless designers with timeless work, always great for inspiration. We'll post a link or two to some of the volumes that they have produced, and we'll add that link into the show notes section so our listeners can click on those, add them to their library, and be very grateful to you for the recommendation. Thanks, Daniel.
You're welcome. They're always my go-to, let me see what they did. You just can't go wrong.
You cannot. You cannot ever go wrong with David Hicks or Billy Baldwin. Danielle, we've come down to the last question. Can you believe that?
Do I get a good prize?
You did. You always get a good prize. Let me paint a picture for you and then get your thoughts on this last question, okay? Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the world you know, but you don't know a single soul. You still have all the experience and the knowledge you currently possess. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home?
I think that is such an easy question for me. As someone who loves color and pattern and texture, I would hands down start with paint, fabric, and carpets or rugs. I think those things are the basics for building a comfortable and cozy home. And I think they're what gives us a sense of depth and a sense of comfort. And I think everything else sort of falls into place when you get those things right.
I couldn't agree more. Wonderful backgrounds, perfect place to start. Color, texture, interest to any room.
Absolutely.
Danielle Rollins, thank you so much for your time today. This has been a joy getting to speak with you.
And to you also.
Thanks, Danielle. I want to thank our subscribers for tuning in to the show. None of this means anything if it's not for you. So thanks for supporting the show, telling your friends about the show, and helping us to grow. Go over to the website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can catch the notes from today's show. We'll post links to Danielle's website so you can follow her and all the great things that she's doing. We'll post links to those David Hicks and Billy Baldwin books that she's recommended to you. Add those to your library. You will not regret the purchase, I promise. While you're on our site, click a few buttons, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.